Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Our sermon series is called Beyond, and when I hear that word beyond, I immediately think of Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond. And I want to talk about beyond our generation. You know, Buzz Lightyear was the new generation coming into that room. He thought he could accomplish anything, he even thought he could fly. And Woody was the one that had been there for a while. He was comfortable in his spot, and he didn't want to be moved. So we want to talk about beyond our generation. It's hard, isn't it, to look beyond ourselves, beyond our everyday, beyond our family, beyond our job, beyond the next holiday, beyond our kids. But God, even before he created the world, was looking beyond. He was already looking at when he would send his son Jesus to redeem us and bring us salvation. He spoke to Abraham about descendants and a promised land when all Abraham could see was that him and his wife couldn't have children. He spoke to Joseph in a dream about power and authority when Joseph could just see his imprisonment. He spoke to Moses from the burning bush and he spoke about freedom and victory, but all Moses could see was bondage. And he spoke to the children of Israel about that promised land, a land full of milk and honey. And all they could see was obstacles and ruin. I wonder, what do you see? One of the things that I love to receive as a child, and we sometimes get them in our house now for my children, was a black bag full of clothes. And it was always filled with different clothes. Some clothes were clothes that you would never wear. They just got put aside. There was clothes that shouldn't really be put in the bag. They just needed to be thrown out. There were other clothes that you immediately put on and just felt at home with. Me, it would be a jumper, some jeans. And then there were sometimes those clothes in that bag that it wouldn't be something that you would go out and choose if you went to the shop. But you actually quite like it, and it kind of changes your style a little bit. Well, it got me thinking, what are we passing down to the next generation? What are we putting in that black bag? And I don't mean for when we die, I mean right now. What right now are we giving to the next generation? The people of Israel were charged by God to make sure that the next generation of children knew about him. They were told in Deuteronomy 6:7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths. They shall speak about them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." Now, I'm not just talking to parents here or children's workers. I'm talking to each one of us. You see, there are about 5 generations alive at one time. There might be a few of them in your living room right now with you. There's the conception to 12-year-olds. There's the 12 to 25-year-olds. There's the 25 to 50-year-olds. That's me. There's the 50 to 70-year-olds. And then there's the 70-plus. Now, each of those generations has an important role to play in the lives of the next generation. And our hearts need to be towards the next generation. Both ways, up and down. Older generation, we need to serve the younger generation, just as Jesus did when he got down on his hands and knees and washed his disciples' feet. You know, the younger generation, yep, they are going to mess things up. Things are going to get dirty. They are going to go the wrong way. But we need to be a generation who wants to serve them, who's willing to get down on our hands and knees and do what they need. And for the younger generation, it's our job to honor those that have gone before us. Let's not just write them off. Let's not just call them old-fashioned. Let's not fail to listen to their wisdom, but let's be prepared to hear what they say. You know, in Malachi 4, verse 5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." You know, when we merely live for the here and now, the whole of society is affected. When we just live for ourselves and our generation, we can't impact the world. But when we do, we can change our community and we can change the world. But we need to turn our hearts towards the next generation. We need to give, and we need to receive from the previous generation as well. If you're part of generation 3, 4, or 5, like I am, you know, we are the spiritual fathers and mothers that the next generation needs. And if we don't start fighting for them, someone else will. I wonder if you've heard of a mother called Madeline Murray O'Hare. Now, on behalf of her son, she decided to take her son's school to court because she didn't think it was right, as an atheist, that her child would say the Lord's Prayer and have scripture read in school. She took that school to court, and she ended up changing American schools to not allowing Bible or prayer. Now, I'm not saying we need to get political, although some of us maybe do, but I'm challenging us. We need to fight, and we need to look different to the society around us. We need to teach the next generation what it means to follow Jesus, to surrender to him and to live in his power. Because we need to change this generation. If we don't, we have end up with a generation that no longer acknowledges God, a society that decides its own truth, and a generation that is struggling to find value and meaning in themselves and what it means to be human. We end up with an angry generation who's fighting for their own beliefs, their own feelings, and for their own causes. So I'm asking us today just to look beyond ourselves at the next generation. I'm asking us to think, what can I put in that black bag? Now, most of you know that I have 5 children. And if you forgive me, but today I want to talk about my children as a mum. You see, we thought long and hard about their names. What will we call our children? And actually, for my firstborn, it wasn't really a choice or a decision, because as soon as I knew I was pregnant with him, I didn't know it was a him at the time, the name Judah came into my mind. Judah. It was an unusual name at the time. 19 years ago, there wasn't any Judahs I knew around. It's become a bit more popular today. But we decided on Judah for our firstborn. And Judah simply means praise. Leah gave birth to her 4th son. He was one of the children of Israel, one of the tribes. And when she gave birth to Judah, she said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Judah is a reminder to me of what I want to pass on to the next generation. And that is that now I will praise the Lord. Not when everything's right, not when everything becomes the way it should, but right now I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, everywhere you go nowadays, don't you, it's all about a positive mindset. Even a new business I've just started, we have Wednesday wins where we have to put something down that that is positive. You know, it's all about a positive mind and how that can change us. And that's true, it can. But praise is far more important, far more valuable than positive mindset. In Psalm 8 it says, "From the mouths of children and infants, you have ordained praise on account of our adversaries to silence the enemy and avenger." Praise is powerful. When we proclaim God's greatness, when we bring praise to his name, we have the power to silence the enemy. We have the power to silence those thoughts in our minds. We have the power to bring change to critical thinking. You know, it was with a shout of praise that the walls of Jericho came crashing down. It was when Moses lifted his hands on the top of that mountain, when he lifted them to the Lord, that the battle that the people of Israel were fighting was won. And it was when they sent Judah first, the tribe that went ahead praising God, that the battle was won. Praise is so important. And when we lift up God's name, when we give God his rightful place, we give the next generation the confidence to not only know who God is, but to know who they are. God is the great I am. He is central to everything that we believe. And when we bring value to God, we bring value to the next generation. Praise should always be the first words from our mouths. And praise will transform a generation. Let us be the generation that brings that transformation. I want to put praise, now is the time to praise, into that black bag to pass on. Now my second child was a girl, and we named her Sophia. Sophia meaning wisdom. It actually means, in the Greek, broad and full of intelligence, knowledge of very diverse matters. And Sophia would agree with all those things to describe her. But before she gets a big head, it's not actually about our wisdom. It's the wisdom of supreme intelligence, a wisdom that belongs to God. In the world today, we can get knowledge from so many sources. If we want to find out something, we can find it. And we're taught, we have all these experts in different fields and we look for the knowledge that we need. But we don't want to concentrate on that human knowledge, that human wisdom. It actually says in James, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, that's our human ways, there will be disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now that's God's wisdom. There's a race today in society for the minds of our young people. And the world knows if we want to change a generation, we have to speak into the education system. And the education system is where the influence happens and where cultural change takes place. And that's what society is doing. They're asking parents to take a back seat, and the government are telling us what it means to be a good citizen. You know, the mistake that Adam and Eve made in the garden when they took that fruit was they believed that they could be wise by literally disobeying God's wisdom. See, God's wisdom says, eat from the tree of life, yes. Don't eat from the tree of good and evil. What did Adam and Eve do? They totally ignored God's wisdom and in their own wisdom took from that tree. You see, what God had said wasn't good, they began to perceive as good. They saw him with a little help from Satan. They saw that it was good and they took it. They wanted to become wise, to know good and evil. But wisdom is not knowing good and evil, it's knowing good from evil. Now, what was evil looked good in their eyes, eating the fruit that God had forbidden. They were prompted to by Satan, and they changed the definition of evil to what was good. God said it was evil. They thought it was good. You know, we can't always believe what we think and what we feel. But it says in Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. You know, we don't always have the answer for the next generation, but God does. Let's be a generation that realizes that God is the source of all wisdom. Let us be a generation that allows God to speak. Let us be a generation that studies his word and speaks it over the next generation. And let's not rely simply on what we think we know and how we think it should be done. But let us allow the generation before us to speak into our lives and for us to speak into the lives that come behind us. Let's pass on God's wisdom. If you're wondering what happened to that mum, Madeline, Well, tragically, she actually was murdered by one of her employees, but her son, Bill, or William J. Murray III, at the age of 33, became a Christian. And even though at that point his mum then rejected him, he later on became a Baptist minister. He was teaching God's word, the very thing that his mum had tried to stop. And we might think we know the outcomes. We might think we know the way to go. But God's wisdom, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So let's seek God's wisdom for the next generation. Now, my middle child, Naomi, means pleasant one. Pleasant means the quality of being enjoyable, attractive, friendly, or easy to like. I don't know about you, but often pleasantness is underrated. You know, nobody wants to be called pleasant. But actually, the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, all of which make us pleasant. You know, our job today is to be salt and light in the world. And I know the first thing that's said when we sit down at our dinner table, apart from Hussein Grace, is, can you pass me the salt? It's normally Noah. Can you pass me the salt? I wonder how many people would ask for you. Now, I don't mean ask for you to go to the parties. I'm not that popular either. I don't get invited to all the parties. But who wants to be around you? Do your family like to be around you? Do you bring a smile and a positive attitude with you when you come? Do you make people feel relaxed in your presence? Can they trust you? Jesus did offend the religious leaders, but the world was attracted to him. You know, they also say that character can be caught, not taught. Character is caught and not taught. And I often think in my house that my children are not listening to me, that they're not doing what I want them to, that I'm the one having to plan things out. I'm the one that having to think about everybody's needs. I'm the one that's doing the stuff. But magic happens when I leave. When I walk away from the house, what happens is they actually step into my role. When I go away for the day or a weekend, they kind of become me. They start to take on my role. They start to look after everybody's needs. They start to plan ahead. They might not be listening to me, I think, but they're always watching. And you know what? You might not think the next generations are listening, but they're watching. And I wonder what example we're setting. I don't want to be the grumpy generation, or the stuck in their ways generation, or the not interested generation. I want to be a generation that loves family, that takes care of strangers. Let's be a generation that other generations want to spend time with. They are watching our behavior. And their behavior will reflect ours. Let's put pleasantness into that black bag. That's what I want to do. Well, Gabriella, she is my warrior princess. And her name means God is my strength. God is my delight. Gabriella is my constant reminder that when I'm weak, he is strong. As I devote myself to him, if I humble myself before him, he will give me strength. You know, we often tell the next generation, work hard enough and you can do anything you want. And although there is some truth in it, it's not entirely true. You see, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it. Yes, we can work hard to achieve our goals, but it's when we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we rely on his strength, that he gives us the desires of our hearts. I heard it said recently that if you aim for heaven, you'll get earth as well. But if you aim for earth, you'll lose that too. We can't be whoever we want to be, but we can be who God created us to be. When we commit our lives to God, when we trust in him, he will be our strength, whichever path it takes us on. Proverbs 3 says, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. Let's not be a generation that delights in ourselves, trusts in our own abilities, commits to our own course of action, and then tries to live it out in our own strength. In Jesus' day, the Jewish people were bogged down with laws that made even the day of rest hard work. And Jesus challenged them over it. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, the kind of rest we need is not time off work, but it's a kind of rest that allows us to do things out of a place of comfort and rest, out of a place of knowing who we are in Christ. Rest is found in listening and doing to what God has asked us to do. And let's not put pressure on the next generation to live up to a standard that we ourselves have been able to live up to. Let's be a generation instead that teaches the next to live out of a place of rest. A generation that knows that God, they are loved by God, that God is the answer to their problems, and that God is in complete control. I wonder, what are you putting in your black bag? Are we passing on just mere fairy tales that we talk about on Sunday? Wishful thinking that we wrap up in a kind of prayer? Or irrelevant teaching that doesn't actually affect our day-to-day lives? Praise, wisdom, pleasantness, God's strength, rest. That's some of the things that I want to put into that black bag for the next generation. They're some of the things I want to pass on. And maybe God is challenging you about some of those things too. Or maybe there's something else that God's challenging you to pass on. I'd love to hear about it. You can even write it in the comments. But right now, I just ask if you would close your eyes and think about that black bag. Maybe you've been putting things in there that you need to take back out and throw away. Let's just ask God to forgive us for passing them on. Things that have become important in our own eyes and are not what God wants. Things that are not helpful for the next generation. You know, a whole generation of Israelites had to wander in the desert for 40 years because the previous generation refused to believe in God. They lived in fear. They didn't believe that the God who had taken them out of Egypt could take them into the promised land, could fulfill what he'd said he would do. Instead, this generation lived their lives looking back, always looking at what life had been. Instead of looking to the promised land, they looked back to the comfort that they'd had in Egypt. They actually longed to be slaves again, even though God was offering them freedom. Now let's look again at that black bag. You know, God wants each one of us to help serve the next generation by living for him. And maybe there's someone that you know right now that you need to pray for, that you need to encourage, that you need to help. Or maybe God's asking you to be braver in an area of your life, an area you need to step out in, because when you step out, you encourage the next generation to follow. Right now, just ask God, what do I need to put in that black bag? What do I need to pass on to the next generation? You know, it's the little things that we do every day that make a difference. Let's start making a difference in our generation and in the next. Let's not be content to sit back and hope that the next generation do okay. But let's be like Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two of their generation that walked into the promised land. In fact, they led the next generation into the promised land. You know, I like to say this a lot because it's true. God loves you. And nothing you can do will make him love you more. And nothing that you've done will make him love you less. He simply asks you to come. You know, if you've been trying to be positive, you've been trying to do the right thing, be wise, you're trying to be kind to people, but you're doing it in your own strength, and you've got no peace. You know, maybe you're not a Christian here today, and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. Well, I want to invite you to do that right now. You've been living for yourself, doing it in your own strength, trying to find that peace, that thing that's missing in your life. Well, God, our Father in heaven, sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to show you the way. He died on a cross to take the punishment for you. He rose again to give you eternal life. All that he asks is for you to confess that you are a sinner, accept that you need a savior, believe that Jesus, the Son of God, died and rose again for you, and that you want to today to commit your life to follow him. If you want to do that, I'm going to ask you right now to close your eyes. And as I pray, you can pray the same words as I'm praying in your head. You can say them out loud, or you can just say, God, that's what I pray, and that's what I'm praying right now. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to live for you in my generation. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I admit I'm a sinner in need of a savior, and I'm inviting you to be mine right now. Come into my life, forgive my sin, live in me as my leader from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. We as a church want to help you in that decision. So please get in touch if you've prayed that prayer right now. And remember, let's think about what are we passing on to the next generation, and how can we live beyond ourselves.